Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm Scott Ellis. I'm going to be your host, and I've got a treat. I've got Dwayne Morrison, and you're going to enjoy this show. So, welcome to Real Estate and You, Dwayne Morrison. I am so happy you're here.
It is a pleasure to be here, Scott.
We've done this before a couple of years ago, but there's probably people that didn't even live here. Now, we're not really going to talk about much real estate. We're going to talk about the heritage of our real estate and the people and stuff. And I know I kind of get excited when you're here because I like these stories and the stuff you tell, because you tell them about as good as anybody I've ever heard. Do you mind sharing with us again?
You know, I've got this little thing that I have written that I wrote up several years ago about the history of San Angelo. And, you know, I preface this by telling you that I love San Angelo.
And you do.
And
your passion shows it.
I love the people in San Angelo. And I think that we are a group of people that are from different backgrounds. We're different colors. We're different types of people. But we have always worked together for the good of our community. And I think that is the uniqueness that makes San Angelo what it is. And I wrote this little thing that I'd be glad to share with you, just kind of a little brief history of the city of San Angelo.
Awesome.
We started in 1867, and San Angelo is built at the confluence of three rivers, the north, the south, and the middle Concho. And from our extremely infamous beginning, San Angelo has grown to a very mature city and the jewel of West Texas. I have always said that I think that San Angelo is one of the most special spots in all of God's vast creation. And I'm very, very proud of my city. It was originally named Santa Angela after the wife of our founder, a man by the name of Bart J. DeWitt, that brought his entourage from San Antonio. And he set off a city, and he began to line this city out. And one of the unique things about it is that the streets in San Angelo that Bart DeWitt set off are wide, not like these other cities with little small streets. But we've got wide boulevards downtown, and that's caused us and allowed us to be able to grow. About the same time, about 150 years ago, a detachment of soldiers arrived at what is now the Fort Concho Parade Ground, and they began to lay off Fort Concho and to establish this frontier fort. This is an area that was described by the brother of Colonel Ben Grierson. Ben Grierson was the commander of the fort. His brother John described this area as the most godforsaken part of Uncle Sam's dominion, a flat, treeless, dreary prairie broken only by a few struggling growths of mesquite. So he's talking about our area here, and it was not a beautiful area. It was home to the Mounted Cavalry. It was home to the infantry and later the famous Black Cavalry Unit that the Indians respectively referred to as the Buffalo Soldiers. At about this time, Bart DeWitt was setting off his city. And the city that Bart was setting off had one purpose and one design, and that was to serve the soldiers from Fort Concho and to provide the soldiers of Fort Concho with anything and everything that Uncle Sam either would not or could not provide. It was a city of vice. It was a city of gambling. It was a city of liquor. And it was a city built with loose women. And it was built to take the money out of the soldiers' pockets and put it into their own. Fort Concho and the Buffalo Soldiers were responsible for the protection of this area. And it was a large, large area they patrolled up into the panhandle area of Texas. The Civil War had just ended. And people from the South, especially, that had lost everything that they had, and even some from the North that had lost what they had, were moving westward. And they were coming to our area. And they came by the thousands. And forts had to be established to protect these citizens. It was a very dangerous area at this time because the Indians did not want the whites here, and they fought to keep us out. And there were many battles, and there were many scrimmages that were in this area that the Buffalo Soldiers had to fight. There's one time when Quanah Parker and his men come off of the reservation in Fort Sill and begin to terrorize areas in the Panhandle. Our Buffalo Soldiers went up there. They won this scrimmage by taking the women and children, bringing them back to Fort Concho and housing them in our stables. Incidentally, about 10 years ago, when the FLDS compound in El Dorado was raided, Texas Rangers took the women and children out of FLDS and brought them to the stables to protect them until things were ready to go. By 1889, the hostilities had ended and the fort was decommissioned. But early San Angelo never had a good reputation. Santa Angela, it was changed from Santa Angela to San Angelo in 1883 by the post office, and they did it to make it grammatically correct. San Angelo was never a good reputation city. Colonel Grierson's wife, Alice, describes San Angelo in 1880 as a horridly wicked portion of the universe, a collection of hovels, grog shops, gambling dens, and bawdy houses that offered neither amenities nor wholesale recreation. The people of San Angelo that made up the city of Santa Angela were a group of horse thieves and robbers and cattle thieves. There was not a good one amongst them. It was about equally divided between Mexican and Anglo heritage. And then they comprised the north side of the river of Santa Angela. On the south side of the river, keep in mind, this is just a few years after the Civil War ended, you had black northern soldiers. This was a powder keg.
Wow.
It was a powder keg when you've got these three groups of individuals that are all thrown together out here in this area, all by themselves, isolated. It's a powder keg. There was no law in Santa Angela. There was no morals in Santa Angela. And the people of Santa Angela was the sorriest group of people that have ever lived, catering strictly to the needs of the Buffalo soldiers. And there was fights daily. And there were stabbings, and people were killed, and there were confrontations, and it was a daily operation. But there was always a line of demarcation that these men would never cross. And I think that is important, because even though they were racially divided, they needed each other. Those Buffalo soldiers needed those sorry individuals in Santa Angela on the north side of the river, and those people on the north side needed those Buffalo soldiers because they protected the area. And I think there's a lesson here that we can learn about our city and what we have matured into, because San Angelo has always been isolated. We never had the Midland that Odessa has. We never had the Fort Worth that Dallas has. And when we had a problem in San Angelo, Texas in the 1880s, we took care of it ourselves. Our people had to go, had to get together. They had to work together. You know, it's that old adage, we can hang separately or we can hang together. They hung together. They never loved each other. But there was mutual respect here. Because of our isolation, they had to stay together. But there were good people in Tom Green County, and they lived in Benficlin. Benficlin was situated on a 640-acre spot about 5 miles south of San Angelo, where the springs were that filled the water for San Angelo and for the fort. Belonged to Colonel Benficlin. He is the one that established this thing. 640 acres, 5 miles away, because they thought that strategically a drunk from San Angelo is not going to go more than 3 miles. So they were safe 5 miles away. Benficlin established the headquarters for the San Antonio El Paso Mail Line. He established a stage line. He was a stop on the Pony Express, the Overland Mail Company. This was a very strong, good, thriving community, this community of Benficlin. It's said that Benficlin delivered the first letter through Pony Express from the governor of California to the governor of Missouri. He was in Washington, D.C. lobbying to build his business more when he got a fishbone stuck in his throat. The fishbone didn't kill him, but the operation to remove it did. In August of 1882, a very, very wet month, it began to rain, and it rained constantly, and the river was full, and the ground was soaked. And then on August the 24th, the bottom literally fell out of the clouds. And in a very short time, the community of Benficlin was inundated with water, and the community of Benficlin was no more. It was the county seat of Tom Green County, and the courthouse washed away, and the churches washed away, and the businesses washed away, and the homes, and the ranches, and the farms washed away.